Greetings and welcome to the Joy of Discovery radio program, brought to you by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter. It's great to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery. As I do every week, I'll do it again this week. I will remind you that if you ever desire a copy of any of our programs, the CDs are free. All you need to do is write to us. Whenever you write to us, make sure you include the date of the program that you desire. Write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Immler, Pennsylvania, 16655. And I'll get you that address again at the end of the program. Before we get into our Bible study, though, let us ask the Lord to bless what we're about to look at. Our Father, as we come before you today, Lord, it's exciting to get into this book, the book of Revelation. It is a revelation. It's not a mystery. It's a revelation. And so, Lord, we are in a section where we're able to see Jesus Christ and all of his glory through the eyes of John, and through the pen of John. And Lord, as we do, we're looking at how Jesus works in the midst of the church today, what all of this means to us. So I pray that through this that we would draw encouragement and strength, that it would all be for the edification of the body, as Jesus Christ is the one that's magnified and glorified. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. It's great to be with you, and I trust you got a Bible with you today. And if you do, I'm going to ask you to open up to Revelation chapter 1. We'll start about verse 13 here once I get you through an introduction. But let me go back to the offer of our CDs. I know CDs are getting, seems like, phased out a little bit more. You could also go to our website. It's claysburgbiblechurch.com, and if you click on sermons there, you will see the entire Revelation study is on that website. There are notes. There are hard copy notes that you feel free to print out. There's an MP3 if you want to download it to a flash drive or to your device, whatever it might be, so that you can listen to it. That's all there. We have nothing copyrighted. It's all for you to use. If somebody wants to take that and use that for teaching purposes, I know we have a missionary in India that has been using our Revelation study for quite some time to teach to his people, and you are free to take that and use that for a Sunday school, for a group Bible study, whatever. That's what it's there for. And all of our studies are on there. There's a lot of them loaded on. And all the notes are there, I believe. They're all able to be printed out. If they aren't, you can always email me, pastorshowalter@aol.com. And if there's something that you can't get, if for some reason you could not get it, I'll make sure that we locate it and get it for you. So just wanted to give you that reminder. Now we're back to Revelation again, and we are dealing with the vision. The vision is in chapter 1, verses 9 through 20, where John is given this this vision. It says in verse 10, he said, "I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet." The Lord's Day there probably is not referring to Sunday, as we refer to the Lord's Day as Sunday as the Lord's Day, but probably refers to the day of the Lord, meaning the tribulation period and all that goes along with that is probably the reference that John is making there. But anyhow, we're looking at this this vision, and we've been looking at the position of Jesus Christ in the vision, and in this vision, let me read 11 and 12. It says in verse 10, he said, "And I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto the churches which are unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea." And then verse 12, he says, "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. So Jesus is in the middle of the candlesticks. If you notice verse 20, we're told here, the Bible interprets itself, tell you what the candlesticks are. It says this, the mystery of the 7 stars, which thou sawest at my right hand, the 7 golden and the 7 golden candlesticks, the 7 stars are the angels, and the 7 of the 7 churches, and the 7 candlesticks, which thou sawest, are the 7 churches. So Jesus is in the middle of those 7 churches. So that's a picture of the ministry of our Lord in the midst of his church. And so we've been talking about this, and as that in that ministry, he serves, number one, he serves as our great high priest. In verse 13, we're told that he was clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. That was the high priestly garments. And so he serves as our high priest. And under that, we could say this, as our high priest, he's interceding for us. Hebrews 7, 22 through 25 says, by so much was Jesus made a surety, that means God's personal guarantee of a better testament. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. And he's talking there, the writer of Hebrews is referring back to the Old Testament priests and saying that there were many of them because they couldn't continue because they died. And so one would die and another one would have to take his place. But then he contrasts Jesus with those Old Testament high priests. And in Hebrews 7:24, he says, but this man, Jesus, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, now listen to this, he's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. That means completely save us. Listen to this. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He is interceding for us all the time. And so he keeps us safe through his present ministry. So he's serving as our great high priest, and there he's interceding for us. Number two, he's providing wisdom for the church. Verse 14 says this, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. The white head and the white hair speak of wisdom and purity. He is purifying his church, and he provides the wisdom that we need as we go through life. But he's always working to purify the church too. As a refiner of silver, he is burning the dross from our lives. Number four, he identifies with his church. The verse 15 says, "And his feet, like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace." The feet there speak of his walk. Jesus identifies with us whenever he walked on the earth. The writer of Hebrews tells us that he was made perfect through sufferings. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, that means that he was made perfect in experience. It wasn't that he was born imperfect. It wasn't that there was something wrong with him. The idea is that Jesus, while he lived for 33 years here on the earth, he went through times of suffering so that he could identify with you and I. He went through so that he could be a high priest that would be able to identify with our infirmities, with our weaknesses. And now we can, because of his finished work, we can come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. So he knows exactly what we need. When we fail, we need mercy. When throughout life we need grace, and that's all poured out upon us. He provides that because he can identify with what we're going through. So he identifies with the church. It's not that he came here and he lives separated to the point that he never felt pressure or pain or sorrow or anything like that. He felt all that, so he can relate to what we're going through. Number five, that's where we're at today. He empowers his church. watch verse 15 again. His feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. His voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. A couple things that I want to pull out of here, if we could. We see that the voice of our glorified Lord is as the sound of many waters. And in verse 16, we see that out of his mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword. Keep in mind that Jesus is in the midst of the church, and we're looking at his present ministry in the church. This description of his voice and the sword has something to do with the church then, because of where he's at. And the reference to many waters, that would refer to the power of his word. The two-edged sword would refer to the effectiveness of his word. Let me consider the power first. I don't know if you've ever been close to a river or a stream that was at flood stage. And if you have, you know that a stream that is full of water is extremely powerful. Extremely powerful. One of my favorite places to go, my wife and I, is out to Wyoming, and we try to get out about every other year to a lodge that sits in the valley between Cody and Yellowstone National Park. It's called Shoshone Lodge, and so we've been going there. We've been there about three different times, and so I've got to know the people that work there and the owner, Mike, and got to know some of those people. But right behind the cabins where we stay there, there is a stream. And we usually go out about the middle of June. And that's when the snow's melting up high in the mountains and the glaciers are melting. And so that increases the water flow in the streams. But the one fellow that I got to know out there, his name was Hunter. He was in charge of the horses. He told me whenever he first came out there, he said one of the first nights he was laying in bed and he said he heard these loud explosions and he could not figure out what it was. And he said the next day he asked somebody, what were the explosions that I heard last night? And they said they were not explosions. They said that from the snow melt in the mountains, the water in those streams becomes so powerful that it rolls the boulders over, and the booms and the bangs that he was hearing in the night were those rocks hitting together as the power of the water rolled them down the stream. That's, and if you've ever seen the size of the rocks and the stones that are out there, you understand how powerful that would have to be. That's the idea right here. His voice is as the sound of many waters. Extremely powerful. Extremely powerful. That's speaking of his word. This thought takes my mind to a lot of passages in the Bible. In Ephesians 6, 11 through 17, we read, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation," listen to this, "and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." When we look at the armor of God, we see that we as believers are given one weapon, and it's the word of God. And that weapon is extremely powerful. There are a lot of people that don't understand the power of the word of God. And so, for God's people to speak the truth of his word into the lives of other individuals, that's where that power is released. John 18, 2 through 6, listen to this. "And Judas also, which betray him, knew the place." This is whenever Jesus is going to be arrested before he was crucified. Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither and with lanterns and torches and weapons. And Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? And they answered, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon as he had said unto them, I am he, listen to this, they went backward and fell to the ground. When Jesus spoke, they all, that was over 1,000 soldiers that night, fell to the ground at the power of his word. The power of his word. That's the power in the word of God. Romans 1:16 says, For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The word of God is extremely powerful. So in Revelation 1:15, when we see Jesus' voice as the sound of many waters, it is a way to show the power of his word, which is the weapon that is given to the church to fight the spiritual battle. Listen, it is you often say, what should I share with my unsaved friend? Well, I don't know what to say to him. Try a Bible verse. That's the powerful word of God. Try the Bible verse. Give them a Bible verse. Say, hey, I just want to share with you, this is what God's word says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That God sent his only son into the world to die for our sins. So on and on, verse after verse, that's where the power of God is. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that's the power of God's word. But also the sword, the sharp two-edged sword in verse 16, I think it speaks of the effectiveness. Hebrews 4:12 says, For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The fact that the word of God is pictured as a two-edged sword means it cuts both ways. Let me explain that. To some, the Bible condemns. To others, it converts. You got that? To some, it condemns. To others, it converts. Depends on the response. To those that reject it, it condemns them. To those that accept it and to repent and turn to Jesus Christ, it converts them. It's a two-edged sword. It cuts both ways. But the point is, the word of God is powerful and it's effective. Isaiah 55:10-11 says this, For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Listen to this. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. Guaranteed that God's word's not going to return void. It's a sharp two-edged sword. It cuts both ways. It'll either condemn or it'll convert. I guess you could throw another one in there. It'll convict also. The conviction comes before the conversion. But that just speaks of his word, the power of his word, and the effectiveness of his word. The power is seen in the fact that his voice is as the sound of many waters. The effectiveness is seen in the fact that it's a sharp two-edged sword. Let me get you to the next thing about Jesus standing in the midst of the church. He protects his church. Watch verse 16 again. And he had in his right hand 7 stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. He's holding 7 stars in his right hand. I think, to see the meaning, we got to look further. Watch verse 20. Now here you get the interpretation. The mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand and the 7 golden candlesticks. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches. It's all the further we got to go. Here we see that this is a mystery, which means it was previously a hidden truth. We also see the seven stars of the seven angels and of the seven churches. Now, there's much difference of opinion as to who these seven angels are. The word angel here in verse 20 means messenger, and so there are many who will teach that these are the pastors of the seven churches. The fact that the stars are in the Lord's right hand tells us that they are held in the hand of power. I really appreciate the thought that God would hold me in his right hand and that he empowers me for the ministry. And I do believe that to be true, but there could be a different meaning here. Let me give you something to consider. In the book of Revelation, God works through angels. He works through angels. That's part of the handing down of this letter right here. Matter of fact, I'll read verse 1. In the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants his thing which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So it goes to the angel and it goes to John. Hebrews 1:13-14, it says this: But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? And are they not all ministering spirits? Listen to this. Sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. There is a possibility that there is a sign to each true church, an angel who issues the power of God upon those within the body of Christ. That's a possibility. There's also another thought on this verse, and it comes from John Phillips. He says this: These angels are symbolic of the highest powers that exist, and the picture here is that of our Lord, that our Lord has the control over every power that is under him. Matthew 16:15-18 says, He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So it could be a reference to the extreme higher powers that have the influence and the protection that is given to the church. I think in the book of Job, I think you get a picture of that protection. Job 1:8, 9, and 10 says, And the Lord said unto Satan, As thou consider my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Satan looks at Job and he says, God says, Have you considered him? And Satan says, I can't get to him because there's a hedge. What's the hedge? What is the hedge? Let me take you to the Old Testament for a second. Stay with me. Take you back to a scene where the king of Syria sent an army to bring Elisha back to him. Elisha was with a young man whom he was training. In 2 Kings 6:14-17, it says, Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. This was the king of Syria, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when a servant of the man of God was risen early, that's the little guy that was with Elisha, had gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? What are we going to do? We're doomed. Then Elisha says this, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. When God opened the eyes of the young man, he was able to see that they were surrounded by a heavenly host, which was protecting them. Real good chance that's the very hedge that Satan sees. Real good chance that is the very hedge that surrounds you and I. And nobody can penetrate that hedge unless God permits that to occur. Let me get you down to a conclusion, and I'll pull all this together if I could. God empowers us with his word, which is powerful and effective. Therefore, we're fully equipped for the battle. Then we can rest in the fact that he protects us in the midst of the battle. So as we step out in faith and serve him in the window which has been entrusted to us, let me just give you some verses to hold on to. Deuteronomy 24, for the Lord your God, he is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Catch that. For the Lord your God, he is that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Joshua 1, 5 and 6a, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. Romans 8, 31 and 32, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Listen, Jesus is in the midst of his church. We have been given the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is extremely powerful and extremely effective. There were seven angels. Each one was an angel over the church. We have the protection of God. So therefore, there is no reason for us not to step out in faith and serve him. We have the protection. Nobody can get to us unless God permits it to happen. And we have the word of God. It's so powerful. And we need to go out and we need to speak that into the lives of those that are around us. I'm out of time today. Hope that's an encouragement to you. Not that I'm out of time, but that message. But I want to thank you today for joining us on the Joy of Discovery today. And again, I'll remind you that if you would ever desire a copy of any of our CDs, all you need to do is write to us. Make sure you include the date and write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That's Claysburg Bible Church. 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Until we meet around the radio, we see you in church. Might you have a blessed week.